And we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raider football team, coming off an exciting win on the road at Rice last week. Rick Stockstill joins us. Coach, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. And all right, let's get right to it. When I say the term quadruple doink, what does that mean to you, Coach?
It'll mean something from here on, you know, the rest of my life. I've never seen one before like that, and hopefully I don't ever see another one again unless it goes in our favor. But, you know, just you talk about sports, you talk about football. You know, everybody says it's a game of inches. And to me, probably that statement, it was never more true than in that incident right there. And just, you know, from the sideline, you know, you can see it going and it hits the right upright. But then when it ricochets to the left, you can't tell, you know, you don't know if it's going through. You don't know what's going on. And then you see it hit the crossbar, you know, and go up. So now, again, you've got 10, 15 feet where the ball's just traveling, and you don't know if it's going behind it. You know, so all the thoughts are going through your head, and then it hits it, and it comes back down, and, you know, and it kind of, the film doesn't do it justice, but it kind of laid on the crossbar. It seemed like just a second before it bounced up, and then, you know, again, from the sideline, you can't tell. So I couldn't tell if it fell forward or fell, you know, backward, and Mark Owens was standing in the end zone behind the goalpost, and I saw him jump up and go crazy before I saw the officials, you know, give the no good sign. So just a crazy sequence to a crazy year, John.
Yeah, tell me about it, Coach. Well, what was it like on the sidelines once everybody knew, like you said, it was no good?
Well, you know, that was the first overtime possession, and you know, they had stopped us, and, you know, we missed a 50-yard field goal. And, you know, so now they're trying to, you know, I think it was a 45-yard, and it wasn't that far. You know, maybe 42, whatever it was. And, you know, so called timeout, you know, and then they missed it. And so it just gave us life, you know, that, you know, they make it, the game's over, you know. And, you know, so the defense had to go back out there again because, you know, they won the coin toss deal. And so we had to go back out and, you know, did a great job, got a stop, you know, forced them to a field goal. And, you know, they made their field goal, but they jumped off sides, you know, so they had to re-kick it. And that's when they gave, you know, then Jalen, you know, blocked their next attempt. So we knew then all we had to do was kick a field goal to win the game. And we were fortunate enough that we scored a touchdown. So, but just a great example of never giving up, never losing hope, never, you know, stop believing, whether it's one play, one game, or, you know, this entire season.
Absolutely. We're talking with Rick Stockstill here on Nashville Sports Radio. How about your kicker before Asher's 14-yard touchdown run in OT, in the second OT? How about your kicker, Cruz, with a 48-yarder to tie it with 34 seconds left? That's a long way to kick a football under that kind of pressure.
Yeah, you know, he did a great job, you know, and he had missed, you know, we tried a 52-yarder earlier in the game. You know, he missed, but he hit it good. You know, and then, you know, after they scored there late, we get the ball with 39, 35 seconds, whatever it was, and we drive down there and, you know, get to the 30 with 5 seconds left, and you know, it's a lot of pressure, you know, on him. I think that was his career long also, and but he stepped to the plate and he nailed it, and, you know, kept us in the game, gave us, you know, new life, so to speak. You know, that we were able to force overtime now at the buzzer. So, but no, Cruz, you know, did a great job, and he's a really good kicker. And I was glad for him to have that opportunity and knock it down for us.
Rick Stockstill is our guest. And, you know, Asher O'Hara, as we said, with the 14-yard touchdown run to seal it for you in overtime number two. And you look at his numbers from the game, 333 yards passing, two touchdowns, ran for 69 yards, two more scores. And most importantly, the clean sheet looks like, Coach, you know, no turnovers.
Yeah, you know, that was huge, especially in a game, you know, like that, because it was close, it was back and forth, and, you know, we created three turnovers. We had, you know, the one turnover on the fumble that he had, but, you know, our defense kept him out of the end zone on that play or kept him off the scoreboard, you know, so we did a good job with the sudden change defensively. But, no, Asher played well, did a nice job of, you know, throwing the ball, probably the best job he's done this year, to be honest with you, throwing the ball, and showed more poise and patience, you know, in the pocket, and, you know, did a nice job with his feet, had some, you know, conversions on third down with his feet. So he played a really good game.
Talking with Rick Stockstill from Middle Tennessee. All right, Coach, second win of the year, 2-5 overall, but 2-3 in conference. You know, still with some games left to play as you head into the bye week. Is it, do you kind of just kick your feet up and relax a little bit, or you just try to take inventory of your team, see where you are and where you need to be for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, a lot of that, John. We just, you know, we met Sunday. You know, when we got back, we watched the film and talked, and then we didn't practice Sunday. And then Monday's normally our day off, so we didn't practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, today. And so we'll start back tomorrow. I wanted to give them, you know, some time off, you know, not only physically, mm-hmm. but mentally with everything that's gone on, you know, this last, you know, it's the first break they've gotten in a while. So I feel we'll come back tomorrow, you know, recharged, refreshed, and hopefully a little bit fresher from an injury standpoint than what we are, you know, and then you evaluate, you know, where you are, what you've done good, what you haven't done good, you know, and just evaluate personnel and everything as we, you know, get ready for, you know, Charlotte next week. So, but kind of a little bit of everything of what you said.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only for the kids, right, for the coaches as well. Obviously, you're still going to, you know, punch the clock and put your work in. But the fact that there's no game prep and you can actually, like I said, take inventory, see what you have, talk with your coaching staff and figure out, all right, what do we need to fix? What do we need to keep doing better as we go forward, correct?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, and we've done all that. And, you know, recruiting is so much different this year. Mm. Because you still don't know what's going to be out there. And so we've tried to evaluate, do some, you know, transfer recruiting stuff, looking at, you know, from high school kids to junior college kids to the transfer portal, just trying to evaluate as much as we can, you know, this week from a recruiting standpoint as well.
When you win a game like you did last week, Coach, I mean, take us inside. What's the locker room like and what's the trip home like? I know, you know, traveling's a lot different now with COVID, but that's got to be a fun place to be, the trip home and then the locker room immediately after.
Yeah, John, there's no better feeling, there's no better setting than a winning locker room. And, you know, I tell our players all the time that when they leave here, you know, you're not going to miss practice. You're not going to miss, you know, the games. You know, you're not going to miss school. You're going to miss the locker room. You know, you're going to miss, you know, hanging out with your buddies before practice and, you know, everything that goes on in a locker room and, you know, the celebrations in the locker room. That's what they're going to remember. And, you know, to me, it doesn't matter if you win by 100 or win by one or, you know, you beat somebody that you should have beat by 100, but you only beat by one. That, you know, we're going to enjoy and embrace every win and celebrate it, you know, like we beat the Tennessee Titans, you know, because winning is hard, and they put in a lot of work, and you got to enjoy the wins. You got to enjoy it, and we try to do that, and, you know, plane rides anymore are probably a little bit more quieter than normal just because you can't talk with these masks on as well as you used to. So, and usually, by the time the plane gets up and they've eaten a little bit, you know, they're pretty tired, and most of them just, you know, kind of sleep the rest of the way home.
Yeah. Well, Coach, as we mentioned, 2-3 now in conference, and, you know, other than, you know, trying to win out and run the table, what are some of your goals for the rest of this season in Conference USA? Do you feel like you can get back in the race and make things uncomfortable for teams like, you know, Marshall and Charlotte, who you play next week?
Yeah, you know, John, our goal was to beat Charlotte.
Yeah.
And not looking, you know, down the road to who's next and all that. Again, we just have to continue to focus on ourselves and get better. And I know it's coach speak and all that stuff. it is what it is. I mean, we got to, you know, you start looking down the road and you'll stub your toe. So our focus, 100% focus, is only on Charlotte. You know, and trying to find a way to get this win, and you know that'll put us at 500 in conference, and you never know. So I continue to believe. I continue to believe in this hope. I continue to believe in this team. I continue to be positive. And you know, there's a lot of negative out there in the world, and you know, I'm gonna err on the side of positivity. And our team is not where we want to be.
Right.
But, you know, we still have a ways to go, and I'm going to be positive with them, and you know, because they are playing extremely hard. And that game was a perfect example, you know, of they could have easily given up. You know, they score to go ahead, you know, with 30 seconds left, and, you know, we drive down, score to get it to overtime. Either side could have given up, and they didn't do it. And so I'm proud of our effort and how we play, how hard we play. And but I'm gonna, you know, like I said, I'm a positive guy, and I'm gonna err on the side of positivity with this team.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Coach, because you mentioned coach speak and all that, and yeah, media members get frustrated at that, but really, as a coach, all you can do is focus on the next game, right? I mean, you can't sit here and say, well, you know, we're going to beat Charlotte, and then we're going to go down and we're going to beat this team. You have to focus one game at a time. You have to have that mentality of going 1-0 every week, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, John. And I get it. You know, I get, you know, sports writers, the media, you know, all that stuff. I get they want to hear something, but, you know, they're not around a team. They're not in that locker room. They're not on that practice field. They're not in those meetings. And you're dealing with 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids, 21-year-old kids that as soon as you start talking about something that is not, you know, right now, you know, they're going to be distracted and they're not going to focus on what really is important. And you know, and as soon as you start saying, we're going to do this, we're looking at that, and then you stub your toe, you know, then the media is going to say, well, you got what you deserved. You were talking about this when you should have been talking about this, focusing about yourself. So I get it. I understand it. But in reality, you know, as a team, that's all you can do. You can only control, you know, the controllables, what you can control, and that's us today. You know, we worry about tomorrow. You know, we're not going to be as good today as we need to be. So just as our mindset. But I understand it, John. I get it. Everybody wants, you know, that Twitter headline or whatever. And I get it. That's why they don't like interviewing Coach Belichick, you know, because it's one word, two word answers.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, so that's just kind of where we're at.
Yeah. Rick Stockstill is our guest, Middle Tennessee State head football coach. You mentioned Charlotte up next next week as you enjoy the bye week this week. You've had some interesting games against the 49ers in over the last few years. What are your early thoughts on next week's game against Charlotte?
Yeah, you know, they're 2-2 right now, John. They got beat by App State in the first game, and then they got beat by Florida Atlantic the second game. And, you know, then they beat North Texas a couple weeks ago, and they beat UTEP last Saturday. So they're 2-2. They got Duke coming in, or they go to Duke this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a really good quarterback. He was an all-conference quarterback last year. He's a good thrower. He's a good runner. You know, their defense isn't giving up a lot of points, you know, and they're scoring points. So it'll be a good challenge for us. They got a lot of guys returning on both sides of the ball. They got a couple, you know, transfers. They got a Penn State transfer that's starting for them at center. You know, they've got some good players. And, you know, so it's it'll be a good challenge for us. And again, it'll be a good team. A good team that's coming in here. You know, they'll either be coming in 3-2 or 2-3, but they're you know, they're 2-0 in the conference. You know, so not 2-0. They got beat by Florida Atlantic. They're 2-1 in the conference, and you know, so they're looking to get their third win, and we're looking to get our third win in conference.
Well, Coach, enjoy the bye weekend. You know, well-deserved coming off that hard-fought win at Rice. And I'm sure we'll talk to you next week. And as always, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Appreciate you, John. Have a great weekend, my man.
All right. There he goes. Rick Stockstill, head coach at Middle Tennessee State. And now, here's an important message.
All of our guests, MTSU guests, brought to you by Bud Moore State Farm Insurance right there in the borough, 3245 Franklin Road, and their office hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Bud Moore State Farm Insurance, auto, home, property, life, health, rental. You can bundle any or all of the above, banking products, annuity, State Farm experience since 1972 for Bud and that staff with more than 100 years. I've had a couple homes since I've moved here back in the 80s. And both of them have been insured by Bud Moore State Farm Insurance. And I told you about the thing where I got my annual renewal form, and it had stated on there that, you know, I for my roof default bout to when it was built, when I had a new roof put on last year, and they're updating that. So I'm due now, get some discounts because of the kind of roof it is and everything.
Look at
and,
you.
And Bud taking care of it, man. I just asked him. He said, let me look. It's taken care of. And you know, and it's cool too. You can just pick up your insurance person and just call them directly and work with them instead of getting a big rigmarole.
Listen, I've been a State Farm customer ever since I learned to drive when I was 16 years old. I've got a great agent here.
Yep.
Shout out to Holly. She takes care of me. So
good.
You know, I mean, there's no better than State Farm. So.
Well, 893.
You are really in good hands.
Yeah, Bud Morris.
Not the other guys. These are the good hands.
615-893-1417. 615-893-1417. The website budmorris.biz.